Book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts is a book that records the beginning of the history of the church. The church is not over with, is it? The book of Acts doesn't end at the 28th chapter, I believe it is. Actually, that's just the beginning. It doesn't say the end at the book of Acts as we have it written down. Why? Because we're still living in this era. We're still living in this age. We're still in that time. We're still in the body of Christ. And Jesus, the head of the church, is still moving and acting through the members of his body today. Hallelujah. Greater things in many ways are happening today all over the world than happened in the book of Acts. And the same things that happened in the book of Acts are happening all over the world. So this is vital to us. It pertains to us. It's, like I say, history of the church in the beginning. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now this, as it said, was a day of Pentecost, a regular feast day of the Jewish people that God had appointed unto them, a day of celebration for the Jewish people. And on this day, after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, God poured out the Holy Spirit on the church. Now after that, Peter stood up on that day and preached a message. What happened was a crowd gathered. Because it was during, I got to watch it that I don't get into too much detail or it'll take too much time to get through what we really need to get to today. But it was required of all Jewish males to present themselves at Jerusalem before the temple three times a year. This was one of the times. So you got all these people that came in for this Jewish feast day, the Feast of Pentecost. And so all of these Jews, and since they were dwelling in Roman-occupied land, it was the practice of the Romans whenever they conquered a people to resettle them all over and kind of break them up, you know, so they wouldn't have just a group of Jews here and a group of somebody else here, that it'd be easier for them to rebel. But let's take some of them, mix them up, put some Jews, you know, integrate them. And so they're not all together, and it'll be harder for them to rebel and easier for us to control them. So you got all these Jews who, verse 5 says, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. What that means is all provinces of the Roman Empire, these Jews had come to Jerusalem as they were supposed to. And the reason they were scattered abroad was, as I said, the Roman practice of resettling people. Verse 6, "And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Look, are not all these who speak Galileans?" Well, I'm already deeper into this than I meant to go, but what they're saying here about, well, aren't all these Galileans, that's like saying, well, aren't these all a bunch of hillbilly, I better not name any states or anything, aren't these all a bunch of hillbillies, you know, from, you can figure out where they're from, probably, where you might say they're from. In other words, they're saying, well, these are uneducated people. They're just from up there out in the sticks. I mean, how do they know these languages? What languages? Well, the languages of the places where they had been resettled to. At that time, just like it is today in most of the world, most people know more than one language. not we proud Americans, but most people by necessity know at least parts of other languages. They have to. Well, the same with these people. They were Jews, and so they knew Hebrew, but they also had to know the language where they were living. And it was in those languages that they heard these 120. Actually, it wasn't just the disciples, but it was also Mary, the mother of Jesus, and 120 altogether. Verse 15 of Acts chapter 1 tells us that. It says altogether the names, number of names is about 120. Anyway, all of these came out. They're speaking in languages that obviously they hadn't learned because they were from the sticks, from Galilee. And this brought a crowd. This created a commotion and brought a crowd. And Peter stood up and preached. That's what we want to get to, verse 14. Now, notice this. It's important that you notice it. You know, some people, when they talk about speaking in tongues, I'm talking about the seminary types, the preacher types, the one with a doctor, the DD and PhD. You know what that stands for, don't you? Well, some people it's doctor philosophy, but with others it's pulse hole digger. Anyway, they say, well, the speaking in tongues, that was just for evangelism, so they could get the church started and so they could preach the message to all these other people. All of these people were Jews. Verse 5 says there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews. Everybody say Jews. And as Jews, they knew the language of the Jews. They didn't have to have some other language to preach to them in. And when Peter stood up and preached, you notice, he didn't speak in 42 different languages or 120 different languages. He spoke in one language and they all understood him. It wasn't, they didn't preach the message of the gospel to them in other tongues. All that did was get their attention. And then Peter stood up and preached, one person, one language to all of them. Now, verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. In other words, he's saying, look, these people are acting deliriously happy, but they haven't been drinking. It's early in the morning. They haven't even opened the bars yet. But, verse 16, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last, and then he quotes from Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, just like any scripture, it doesn't mean that it all had to come to pass right then. But he was saying,